This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
So I'm Adam Thornhill. I'm a programmer, and I have my background in programming and psychology. And what I've been trying to do over the past 15 years is to combine these two fields. So I look at our technical discipline from a psychological perspective.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Adam Thornhill about code as a crime scene. Now let me introduce a special guest.
Hello, my name is Len Gresky. By day, I help large companies improve their effectiveness in their product development.
You know, I'm curious about something. There's something here I'm trying to read between the lines, so I want to explore a little bit. When you're describing making an economic case for fixing technical debt, and you're describing it as unplanned work and reducing unplanned work, you're sort of saying that, or you are exactly saying that, the root cause of unplanned work is technical debt. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, and so this is where I was thinking, like, well, that doesn't sound right to me. And it's possibly because you've got your finger on the problem and I've missed it a bit. I like, for example, unplanned work, I was thinking to myself, well, why wouldn't it be more about using automation to reduce the unplanned work? Because some of that unplanned work is about discovering something, is about slow feedback loops, and that something gets released before feedback gets back to you that the system is not well-formed or not correct. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I think that unplanned work is it's a term that I think is easy to misunderstand. I basically took the term out of Gene Kim's book, The Phoenix Project, one of my favorite books, because there he talks about unplanned work being the silent killer of IT projects. And I think that's spot on. So when I talk about unplanned work, I'm mostly focusing on the software itself. So it's, of course, if we build the wrong thing, right, the customers want solution A, we build a feature B, then we're going to have unplanned work because we need to rebuild that system. What I'm talking about as unplanned work are things that we could have prevented up front in terms of software quality. So what I mean is that technical debt, what happens is that, and we see that in the code red papers, is that you're going to ship on average 15 times more defects with red code as opposed to green code. What's going to happen to all those defects is that they're going to come back, and they're going to come back in the shape of bug reports. And bug reports, software bugs, by definition, are unplanned, right? So now we need to spend time on investigating those bugs. We have to spend time fixing them. And that is largely unplanned work because it takes focus away from the stuff we actually have on the roadmap, the things we want to execute. So I hope I managed to clarify that aspect.
No, you are clear. And I think it's more about where I'm at, and I'm trying to adjust my frame. And so here's a thought, is that the reason I was starting to make up in my head is like, well, you know, why do we do a lot of test automation, for example? And that is to, there's some intent, there's some things that people think it's about discovering if there's bugs in code, but there's also the aspect of, well, allows you to improve your code without having to be worried that you've made it worse. You know, you created a bug. And so really, I don't use test automation as an ends to itself. I don't create test automation because I want to have test automation. It's because I want to have code that it's easy to refactor. And of course, that solves a lot of the problems. It's less important actually about testing, and it's more important about testing the design during the development cycle, because that solves a lot of problems. So I'm actually coming back into alignment with what you're saying. It just took me a longer walk because I keep thinking like, well, I want test automation. That would help with the unplanned work scenario. And yet that also makes it easier to improve the code quality and to handle the if you will, the hot spots. So I'm in alignment there. But I think many people would probably have a similar reaction.
Well, in a lot of ways, the automation allows you to reduce the batch size of software. That if it takes you 500 hours to do a build, test, deploy cycle, you're not going to do that every day. And, you know, big companies frequently have these large batch sizes that they'll put, you know, 100 changes into production in a batch because it's very expensive to do the test deploy cycle. And, you know, the automation allows you to do what I call, you know, with apologies to Robert Rodin, make build, test, deploy free, perfect, and now. And you know, and that has a number of desirable characteristics in part about, you know, reducing the amount of unplanned work.
I agree. And I think that having long deploy cycles give us long feedback times, of course. And one of the main problems is that once you start to test that software, right, that you have been deploying for, I don't know, days, right, then what's going to happen is that you're going to discover various defects that might be really, really hard to tie back to a specific work item, right? And even when we manage to do that, then we figure out that, yeah, this bug is due to some code that Adam implemented, right? Then Adam will have moved on and started to work on a different feature. So now poor Adam has to context switch to switch fix that bug, right? So that's like the dynamics of unplanned work. It's disastrous.
Yeah, cool. Nice. Yep. Yeah, and just in case I'm not speaking clearly, the realization I'm coming to is that I do test automation in order to reduce my technical debt, which goes back to your point. This next question I want to ask is about sharing a before versus after example of technical debt removal and actual versus predicted economic impact. Do you have anything you can share about that?
Oh, yeah. I have so many stories about that. And I'm going to try to pick one impactful story. So this is also something that happened a couple of years ago. I did some, was before CodeSyn, but I had my crime scene techniques. So I did some work for a product company, and they were developing a fairly complicated communication layer. And this communication layer was tied to a customer contract. So it had a very hard deadline. But of course, they had a bunch of internal deadlines. And that development had been going on for, I think, 2 years. And it turned out that they had missed one internal deadline after another. And each time the gut response from management had been to add more people to the project. So what started out as a small project now had 25 people on it. And now finally, this final deadline started to approach, and the software was nowhere near a functional state. It simply didn't work. So me and a couple of colleagues, we were asked, can we look into this and can we come up with a plan on how to meet that deadline? So we analyzed the code, we looked at the hotspots, and we spoke to the people there, and we pretty soon understood that there's absolutely no way you're going to be able to meet that deadline when continuing to work on that code base. So what we decided to do was to rewrite large portions of the code. And this is an advice I almost never give, right? Most of the time, I'm much more, let's try to fix what's there. Let's try to refactor it. But in this case, the code was in such a bad state that it's cheaper to just start from scratch, get rid of all the ugliness. And we kind of managed to sell that plan to management that, yeah, we're going to try to do this in 3 months, which gives us time to hit that deadline. And at first, they were a little bit skeptical, but we kind of tried to explain it. And the next question they asked us was, okay, how many additional people do you need? We are 25 now. How many do you need? And I said, we need 5 people. Okay, so you want to go from 25 to 30? And I said, no, we need 5 people in total. And this was a little bit counterintuitive. But one thing we figured out was this was actually a small problem. And having that many people on the project will increase the coordination and communication costs. So with a very small team, we were actually able to build this whole thing in just 3 months. And that, of course, had a value of hitting that deadline. Being able to do it with 5 people as opposed to 25 also has an economical value. But what was so fascinating was that this code, which was much, much healthier, it actually performed better. So I think it had 25% better performance than this tech debt ridden piece. So all these benefits are there if we embrace a healthy code.
Wow, that's cool. I've seen situations where there's a problem, but it's actually in a small part of the code, or it's a problem that's systemic and it's all over the place. In this case, what was the nature of the problem? Is it spread all over the place, or was it kind of in a hot spot?
So the good news was that this was a subsystem. There was a much, much larger system where this code was a part of, and that part was pretty good, right? But the subsystem was in really bad shape, and the code itself it was fairly systematic, and it was the problem of it was that the code lacked the proper modularity, meaning that you wanted to tweak one aspect of it, you ended up having to change five different files. It was also a problem with overly complicated code. So when I tried to understand even a function in isolation, it was really, really hard because due to the complex logic, the convoluted logic in that code. So there was a definite combination of design smells there.
So a scenario I've been involved with is where we're refactoring something, but with a small group of people, but then there's a team that's still adding new features on top of it. So how did you have a little bit of a merge difficulty as well, or how did that go?
No, actually, we didn't. We more or less, this small team, what we did was that we more or less took over the whole development. And what we did also, what I think was one of the success factors, it doesn't have much to do at all with code quality, but all good code is written with that background, is that we made sure to have some people that have worked on the previous version of the software in the new project. Because otherwise, it's so easy that you miss something critical in the domain, right? Because after all, they had built up so much domain knowledge. And there were also all these strange edge cases that we learn about once we start to develop something. And it's simply knowledge that is hard to gain, and it's important to have it follow along when you try to improve something or build something new.
Agile Thoughts wants your help. However you find our show, be it through iTunes, Stitcher, or any of the other podcast aggregation systems, go ahead and leave us a review. Click some stars, and that will help us grow the show. Thank you. Check out the show notes. And in there, you will see links to the several books that Adam Tornhill is an author of about code and design. And also, you'll find links to other things such as Adam's talk at GoTo and his TEDx talk. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy tapping. If you don't use a podcast player, well, go back to the website where you downloaded this MP3, and there you will see the show notes. The first of the series started in episode 261. So if you're like my friend Zoe, you can find that episode by going back to the Agile Thoughts website at agilethoughts.info, and there you will find a search box where you can type in any episode number that you desire, and it will find it. Next episode, more Adam Tornhill. Okay, what was the worst piece of code that you ever had to remediate? What made it so bad, and what did you do to improve it?
Oh, well, it's a hard question to answer. I think the worst pieces of code I've ever seen haven't been remediated, simply because the risk of touching that code at all is so high. So what people tend to do is they build new features and just try to avoid touching that piece of code.